The speaker.
Good.
You are now being transferred to broadcast. To end, hang up.
Okay.
Tyway, Northwest London. Chofei Eor. 23rd of May, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Baha B'chukosai. Unfortunately, our speaker is unable to make it this morning, so at very short notice, we thank Rabbi Yehuda Wittenberg for standing in at the last minute, and he's going to speak on the Parsha. This week's Torahway was sponsored by Family Gross, L'chvoy Tzimchas Av HaMitzvah Shal Yitzi Gross, which was last Shabbos Parshas Emor, Yerotzon Shiyizku Horov Uzkeinov L'Rav Nachas Mimenu M'kol Yotze Cholotzeim, and as a schus for all the Shvuyim and all the Chayolim, they should all return home B'Sholoim.
Amen. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I'll do my best to make this coherent. Right, so I've just a couple of thoughts on the parasha. We'll see where it takes us, time-wise and content-wise. So firstly, a geshmak avot from the Tzofnas Paneach, the Rogatchover. At the beginning of Parshas B'chukosai, the Torah tells us, in the short, there's kind of a few psukim of brochas that will happen to Klal Yisrael when they keep the Torah in B'chukosai, Teilechu, Ves Mishpotai, Tishmeru v'asisim oisom, and there's various brachas are said. One of the brachas in Pasuk Vav, the Nosati Sholim Ba'aretz, Kosh Baruch Hu says there'll be peace in the land, u'shchavtem ve'ein machrid, you'll be able to live peacefully, v'shbati chaya ra'a min ha'aretz. And I will eliminate chaya ra'a min ha'aretz. I will eliminate wild animals who could come and attack you, I'll get rid of them. V'cherev lo yisaver ba'aretzchem, and a sword will not pass through your land. That's also a bracha that even an army that's going from place A to place B won't pass through Eretz Yisrael. Famously, at the time of Yeshiyahu HaMelech, this was something that unfortunately happened, that he didn't want to let Melech Mitzrayim through, and that's how it led to his own downfall. But there's Torah's Kohenim on Vishbati Chayom in Ha'aretz, Chayorom in Ha'aretz. The Torah's Kohenim brings a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Vishbati chay ram in the aretz," means that all the wild animals in Eretz Yisrael will die. They'll perish. They'll disappear. They'll be eliminated. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, "No." Rabbi Shimon says that the wild animals won't disappear, but they will be domesticated. They will lose their potency. There won't be wild animals anymore. There'll be animals that you can live with. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon quotes the Nevuah of Yeshayahu Novi, which we line on Achrin Shal Pesach, which talks about Yemoi Samashiach, and the Novi famously says, "Vagor is the Avim Keves," the wolf will lie together with the lamb. The wild animals will be domesticated and will be easily able to easily live together with the domesticated animals. In fact, I once went to Manhattan and I ate in a restaurant called Wolf and Lamb. And it's based on the you've been there, it's a good restaurant, right? And it's based on the name of the restaurant is based on this pasuk. It's a very messianic restaurant. I think it's owned by Lubavitch, actually, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, there's a big picture of the Rebbe there. So the Rogatchover says, he says a beautiful chap. He says there's another famous machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomim, but we know the Chachom of Rabbi Yehuda is often Rabbi Shimon. On another Pasuk in the Torah, which has got the word v'hishbati, the root of lahashbis. And that's, we know that on Pesach, there's a chiyuv of tashbisu. Tashbisu sa'ar mibateichem. The mitzvah to get rid of chametz, bir chametz, the Torah says tashbisu. And there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only way that you can be mekayim bir chametz is by burning the chametz. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say Hashposasay b'chol dava. You can eliminate chametz in any way you want. And there's examples given: Mefarer v'zoyra l'ruach. You can take the chametz and you can put it into crumbs and throw it into the wind, or you can throw it into the yam. So what's the Yisoda machlokas? So the Rogatchover wants to say that it's actually one machlokas. The machlokas is when the Torah says the word hashbosa, does it mean to make something disappear physically? Or does it mean to make something disappear qualitatively? Rabbi Yehuda holds the word hashbasa means to make something disappear in Gansen. And therefore, in our pasuk, he says "Vishbati chayron min aretz" means the animals will, the wild animals will disappear. They'll die. They'll be gone. There won't be any wild animals. Whereas Reb Shimon says, no, Reb Shimon says it means qualitatively. You can have the wild animals there, but if they're not wild, if they're not potent, then that's also a kiyum of the haftacha of Vishbati ro min aretz. And he says exactly the same achlokas you see with chametz. Reb Yehuda holds you actually have to get rid of the chametz in Gansan. You have to burn it. When you burn something, it disappears. It's no longer there. All you're left with is ashes. The original item is no longer there. Whereas Reb Shimon says, no, he says you can get rid of chametz by putting it into crumbs. When you turn the chametz into crumbs, the chametz is still there. It's just not there as an entity of chametz. So the Rogat Shavu wants to say that this is the same machlokas. And last year somebody told me, I don't remember who, maybe it's even someone in this room, told me, was it you, Jordi? It wasn't you. There's another, a third machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, legaba the title of Tashbisu, which you can also fit into this vox. And that is that on Shabbos, we know that in Hilchas Shabbos, there's a din of meleches machsheves osra Torah. When you do melacha on Shabbos, it has to be, it's only called a melacha if you do it in the way and for the purpose that the melacha was designed. One of the categories of melachas where we say that if you do it in that way, you're potter, is if you do something adava she'ena miskaven. Adava she'ena miskaven means when you don't intend the outcome of an action. And the classic example that the Gemara brings is somebody who drags a bench across a patch of earth, and whilst dragging the bench, the bench causes the groove. It makes grooves in the ground, and that is a malacha of chayrish. You're plowing the ground, but this fellow is not intending to plow the earth. All he wants to do is he wants to move his bench from one end of his garden to the other bench. So that's called a dovah she'ena miskaven, because his intention is to move the bench. But what actually happens through his actions is a malach of chayrish. So there's a machlokas here between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds a dovah she'ena miskaven is potter, whereas Reb Yehuda holds a dovah she'ena miskaven is chayev. And they want to say that's the same machlokas, because remember, we're talking about a malach on Shabbos. So again, it comes into the taich of what does it mean to be sheves. So Rabbi Yehuda holds sheves means that the malach can't happen. Physically can't happen. So if you cause a malach to happen according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you're going to be chayev. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the taich of Tashbisu is for something to actually not happen. Whereas according to Reb Shimon holds that Tashbisu is a qualitative point. And therefore Reb Shimon says that yeah, the malacha, the plowing happened, but you didn't want it to happen. So therefore, because you didn't want it to happen, it's not associated with you. So there's a parallel there between the machlokas of Yehuda and Reb Shimon, as well as with the other two. We'll move now, we'll skip to the end of the parasha. And there's the last parasha, we have a double sedra obviously, so we're in B'chuk Kosai. At the end of parasha's B'chuk Kosai, the Sefer Vayikra finishes with the mitzvah of Ma'aseh Behema. What's the mitzvah of Ma'aseh Behema? That every year the farmer, a cattle farmer or sheep farmer, would have to take all the animals that were born during that year and would have to put them into a large pen, and they would pass through a narrow gate, and they would, every tenth animal would have a red paint marked on his back, and Rasiri Yakodesh, as we know, the tenth, every tenth animal, Ma'aseh Behema, it was hektish. A person had to bring it as a korban. It was brought into the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. It was brought as a shlomen. So the Torah says, V'chol Ma'aseh Bokavot Zoyin, all the Ma'aseh of cattle and sheep, Koyla Sheyavor Tachas HaShovet, whichever one passes underneath the stick, which meaning anyone which is marked, passes through the little gate, pass under the stick, because he's holding a stick to move the animals through. The tenth one is Kodesh Lashem. So there's a Nifladik Remez brought on this posuk from the Ramami Pana and from Rav Shamshon Astropola. And they say the following. They say that this seems to be totally unconnected with our Sedra. There's a kasha which is brought to the Gavah Mechiras Yosef. It's known that we say in the piyut on Yom Kippur, which we say at the in Musaf after the Avoida, we mentioned there's a long piyut there which talks about the Asare Haruge Malchus, and the Medrash is brought there that the Romans called in. I don't remember who they called. Was it Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, right? and they asked him, and they basically had this vikuach, and they asked him, that they took him to task for Mechiras Yosef. They said that the Shvatim sold Yosef HaTzadik, and they asked him, what's the din al pi Torah if you kidnap someone? We know that if you kidnap someone, it's a chiyuv misa. So they said that the Shvatim kidnapped Yosef, and they were never punished for it. And it turned out Rabbi Shmuel, Kohen Gadol, went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, you can't argue, I can't explain it. And basically, the Romans said that because your 10 Shvatim kidnapped Yosef HaTzadik, therefore, 10 of you, 10 Tzadikim, are going to be killed. And these are the Asari HaRuge Malchus. And Chazal tell us that the Misa of the Asari HaRuge Malchus was Kneged, the Mechiras Yosef, the 10 Shvatim who were involved in Mechiras Yosef. Now, we know that the Medrash tells us that there weren't 10 Shvatim involved in Mechiras Yosef. There was actually, if you make a Cheshbon, there was only 9 Shvatim there. Why were there 9? Because Yosef HaTzadik was clearly not involved in the plot. Binyamin wasn't there. And we also know that Reuven wasn't there. Rashi says that Reuven came back and he saw what happened. Machlokes, why Reuven wasn't there, but there was only 9 Shvatim there. And we know that the Chazal tell us there was 10 because they say that if a din happens with 10 people, then you can't be choza. So who is the 10th person? So Chazal tell us that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kviyochol, that they were Meshatif HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they joined HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with them. And together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they made a minyan. And that was the minyan that they paskened that Yosef HaTzadik had to be sold. That was Mechiras Yosef. So therefore we have Asari HaRuge Malchus, but we only have 9 Shvatim who were involved. So they say that there's a remez in this pasuk which tells us how this is addressed. And you have to read the Rosh HaTevis. Okay, so let's do this. V'chol Masar stands for, V'chol is V'chi Lama, Vavchof is V'chi, Lamed is Lama, V'chi Lama, and Masar is Meis Akiva, Shehoya Roye, and then the next word, Abaka Vatzoin. So V'chol Masa Abaka Vatzoin stands for V'chi Lama Meis Akiva Shehoya Roye Abaka Vatzoin. Why did Akiva? Rabbi Akiva was the 10th one of the Asari Arug Malchus. Why did he die? There was only 9 Shvatim, so there should have been 9 Arug Malchus. So it says, Koyin Asheyavar Tachas HaShavet. All the other 9 were Yavar Tachas HaShavet. All the 9 other Tzadikim passed away because of the Shvatim. Koyla Sheyach v'tach zashovet. Ho Asiri, Rebbe Kiva, Yekoydesh Lashem. Rebbe Kiva was kviyochol k'neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzmoy. And that's why Chazal tell us that by Rebbe Kiva, shtei yotso nishmosoi be'echod. He said Shema, and when he said Hashem Elikeinu Hashem Echod, while he was mekadesh Shem Shemayim, while he was mekabel ol mach Shemayim, he was nifter. The remez is because kviyochol he represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kviyochol, in the Chelik of Mechiras Yosef. Question is, why David's beauty, the Remez is a Remez Nifla, you have to be a Baruch HaKadosh to say this, undoubtedly. The question is, why Rabbi Kiva, how can we understand this? I came across a pre-tzaddik last week, Rabbi Tzaddik on his first piece, on Lag B'Omer, quotes a Gemara in Menachos, which maybe helps us to understand this in some kind of small way. Hopefully what I'm saying makes sense. He says as follows. He brings that he asks the question that on Lag BaOmer, it's known that it's the Hilula of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Right? It's the Patira of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And that's, we're celebrating the Gilui of Torah that came through on the day of the Hilul of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that there was this amazing Isgalus of Teres HaNista, of Teres Shebaal Peh, and therefore, because of that Gilui, that's what we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. And he says that generally, we don't celebrate the death, the Misa Tzadikim. Misa Tzadikim, he says that Yom HaMisa is normally a day of Tanis, it's brought down in Halacha. So he's mechalek again. I'm sorry, I'm not prepared, so I haven't got the whole thing mamash at my fingertips. You'll have to forgive me. But the pertinent points of what he says is that he brings that a day of Misa Tzadikim, where the tzaddik was killed al kiddush Hashem, is not a day that we're allowed to have as a celebration. That's what he says. That's a day of tzar. But he says when a tzaddik is not killed at Kiddush Hashem, then one is allowed to make a celebration on the day of his patira. As that's kind of what he says. Again, that he elaborates further on this. It's not all with me at the moment. But he says the following. See, he wants to say like this. We know that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 tzaddikim, Talmidim, and they all died in the day of Sfira, Kiyodua. What we also know is that after those 24,000 tzaddikim died, Rabbi Akiva didn't give up, and he started again. And he had five Talmidim Muvhokim, Rabbi Shimon, Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Lazman Azari, maybe. I think most of those are correct. And those were the Talmidim that he went and passed on the Masorah to. Now, he says an unbelievable thing. There's a Gemara which in Menachos, which says that... I might just maybe quote it properly. Can't find the conscience. Where? No, it's needs. Kotchim is where? Anyone got a Menachos handy? Sorry. Where you? Ah, here. Sorry, I've got one. Sorry, I've got. Apologies. So it says, "Amr b'Yudam Rav, b'shash alam Moishin l'amorim, matzay laKadosh Baruch Hu sheyoyshe v'koyse ksarim la'osyes." So Kadosh Baruch Hu was writing tagim on the letters of the Sefer Torah. Amr l'fan of Ribbon Shleili mi ma'akev ayotcha. Amr loy Adam echad yesh ased liyos b'soif kamadoyres va'akiva ben Yosef shemoi. There's going to be somebody called Akiva ben Yosef. That's Arab Akiva. She ased lidreish al kol koytz v'koytz tilin shalalochis. So Amal Afan of Ribbono Shel Olam Harayuli Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me who this Rabbi Akiva is going to be. Amal Loi Chazor La'Achorcha Halach V'Yoshav B'Soif Shmoyne Shurois. He sat, Moshe Rabbeinu sat at the back of the Beis Medrash behind eight benches, eight rows back. Loi Hayodea Ma'im Omrim. He didn't know what they were talking about. Toshas Koyfei, so he became Shvach. Kim Shigia L'Dova Echad Amal Tamid of Rabbi Minayin Necha. So Rabbi Akiva was darshaning. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the shir of Rabbi Akiva, and he doesn't understand what's going on. Right? It's a Medrash Pele, this. So they asked, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva at one point, so how do you know this? So he said, Omalena Alachal Moshe Misinai. Rabbi Akiva said Alachal Moshe Misinai. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu sitting at the back. Phew. I got a mention. Nisiyash Vodaitai. Alright? So this is the Gemara. So what they say about this Gemara, what you see from this Gemara, and again, I'll say Bekitsa Nimrut, that we have a Torah Shabbat, and we have a Torah Shebal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shorish of the Torah Shebichsav, and it's brought down that Aaron HaKoyen was the Shorish of Torah Shebal Peh. Ki Sifse Koyen Yishmu Das, V'Torah Yivak Shemipiyu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokesu. Aaron HaKoyen was the Shorish of Torah Shebal Peh. That's because in the relationship that Moshe and Aaron had, Moshe is called in the Lashon HaZoyah, Shoshbina, Moshe is the representative in the union of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Aaron HaKohen represents Klal Yisrael. Aaron is the man of the people. So therefore, the two aspects of Torah, Torah Shebichsav, is the Torah Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote, and we kind of don't have any access to it. Torah Shebal Peh is how we bring out from Torah its meaning. So Torah Shebal Peh represents the people. So therefore, you have this relationship between Moshe and Aaron, and it's brought down that the keys to Torah Shebal Peh were handed down, and Rabbi Akiva was able to be Megala Torah Shebal Peh to the world. It was that time that Torah started being written down. That's when the Torah Shebal Peh started being promoted. It's all one era that happened at the time of Churban Bayit Sheni, and it's a big parsha. But basically, Rabbi Akiva is the Shorish of Torah Shebal Peh, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shorish of Torah Shebichsav. So Memela, it's like this: the Rabbi Chana Wasserman brings down that the it says that the chet ha'egel ubiyoyim pokti ufakadati, that the chet in every generation, if when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Klal Yisrael, there'll be a punishment also for the chet ha'egel. It's a chet that doesn't go away and needs to be paid back over time. Rabbi Chanan says that that there's another chet which also is always there and doesn't go away until the Tikkun Asad comes, and that's Mechiras Yosef. And he says the chet ha'egel is the shorish of the Averis of Ben Adam Lamokoyim, and the Mechiras Yosef, because it's Avodah Zarah, and the Mechiras Yosef is the shorish of Chatoim Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. And those two, Ben Adam Lamokoyim, Ben Adam Lachaveiroi, those two Chatoim are so strong that they need a Tikkun over many, many generations to be fixed. So whenever there's a Pagam in Ben Adam Lachaveiroi, that all comes from the Yisoid of the chet of Mechiras Yosef. When there's a pogam in the chet of Ben Adam Lamokoyim, that comes from the shoyish of the chet ha'egel. If Rabbi Kiva is the shoyish of Torah Shebaal Peh, it means that he has a connection to Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. That's why when the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva died, it was such a big deal, because Rabbi Kiva, as being the shoyish of Torah Shebaal Peh, he has to be there has to be shleimus in Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. So Memele, when it comes, ulai, maybe, when it comes to the Chet Mechiras Yosef, who is chosen to be Kiviyachal, the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in this Chet, and I'm saying Kiviyachal again, because we cannot understand this, it's Dafka Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva, in his role as being the one who brought Torah Shebaal Peh to this world, he's the one who represents the Cheluk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Chet Mechiras Yosef. What Reb Tzadik finishes, and he says that the reason why we celebrate the Petir of Reb Shimba Yechai is because Rebbe Kiva died in Mises, a Misa of Haruge Malcha, so we cannot celebrate the Misa of Rebbe Kiva. So his main Talmud, Reb Shimba Yechai, so therefore the Torah that got passed on through from Rebbe Kiva through Reb Shimba Yechai, they were Kiveya, the Hilun of Reb Shimba Yechai, but Be'etzem, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the Gilui of Torah Shebaal Peh, which came through the Rebbe of Reb Shimba Yechai, which was Rebbe Kiva. So therefore, going back to our apostle, V'chi lom me'sakiva, shahay roi v'akam v'soin, it's Dafka Rebbe Kiva, who was chosen as being the one, the Shorish of Torah Shebaal Peh. He was chosen to be the representative of the Tikkun of Kiviyachol, the Cheluk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. I'm going to hand over to Reb Dodi. Just make it. Give me some space.
So since we've covered Chikoisai, so let's say something on Bahar as well. Bahar is the quintessential lesson on Emuna, the Yisod of Shmita is essentially that we recognize that Panusa comes from the Eibishter. Proof of that, he says, Shai Shulim Tizra, Sudechu, Shai Shulim Tizra, Chamechu, Vusaftu, Estaviusa, and then Yibashunu Ashvius, that the seventh year is supposed to teach us that notwithstanding the thought that we are Bala Panusa, but really leaving a field fallow for a year, actually is guaranteed by the Rebbein Shlolim. That's the introduction to Veshov Su Uretz Shabbos Lashem. Shabbos is also the same thing. Person thinks if he works 6 days, he earns X amount. If he works 7 days, he is surely going to earn more. Shabbos, the Ashpur of the seventh day, brings about the Brucha. Kol Shetin Yomim Memen Mesbuch means that the six other days of the week glean their source of blessing from Shabbos, so too the other 6 years get the blessing from the fact that Yidden keep Shmita. And that's the Seder Sedem Haimanis, the Seder of a minute that we have on Shabbos, that we believe and trust and know in the Rebbein Shlolem, that the blessing which we get for the remaining 6 days also is all a koich of a minna which we have in Shabbos. Shabbos Lashem and Shmita is also Shabbos. And that is indeed the title which the people which keep Shmita are called Giboirei Koyach, Oisu Devuroi. They are people who are mighty, they are people with resolve, that they put down their tractors, their combine harvesters to collect dust for a period of 12 months, and believe that now the Rebbein Shlom is going to look after them even though they are not lifting a finger to do so. But you've got the famous Rasha. beginning, which everybody quotes when they want to say Vushot Klotz Bet Boidem, so they use the words Ma Inyan Shmita Etzel Ha Sinai. And that's a very famous, well-known Rashi, and the Kasha is essentially, from Rashi's perspective, because since in the mitzvah Shmita there is Kruiseyu, Purtaseyu, Vidiktikeyu are all mentioned in great detail, so therefore that's why it says there the Inyan of Har Sinai. And whereas the others, maybe perhaps not, which lends itself to a question. Are we short of mitzvahs that have got tiktikim and prutim in the Torah which do not have the title of Har Sinai before them? Last week you had the whole parsha of Sfiras Voimer, which is so pertinent at this moment. Adi Mochas HaShabbos goes on in great detail to tell you so much about the Haluchas of Sfira, but it doesn't start there's plenty of diktukim and prutim which are associated with that mitzvah. So the Chaure, why is Har Sinai associated particularly with Shmita? So let's leave Rashi's answer for a moment and understand something more than that. First of all, in principle, there was always a problem. You know, people had there was a Louis Jacobs affair here in England? A hot one. The essence of it was primarily because this gentleman did not really believe that Torah was Min HaShemayim. And in all sorts of evasive and manners of avoidance, he did not actually commit himself that the Rebbein Shlomo was at the top of that mountain and handed down the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, who handed it down to Yeshia, until we have it today in 2025. He grappled with it. And those doubts eventually escalated, and you can see as Feilt Emuna then goes right down to the Yesodos. So what is it about Har Sinai that's so special? How come that in the tourist guide of Israel that they haven't got a single plaque that indicates the direction that the Jews 7 weeks after the Exodus received the Torah on this mountain, and admission fee is Chweisnish, 20 quid a shot to go and see this mountain, and there should be a kiosk outside with Coca-Cola? No, Har Sinai is nondescript. Nobody even knows where it is, really. Got an idea, but it's not sufficient for us to make out of it a monumental mountain, that this is the place where... Not a glimpse. You ask yourself, why not? Har Sinai, cheesecakes. And the third is because it... As long as the Rebbein Shloilem was on that mountain, there was a presence of Shechina and Kedisha. That mountain had significance. At the departure of the Shechina, that mountain lost its significance and is no more important and valuable than a heap of rubble. Torah was given there. The Torah was important. The mountain, love Dafka. Now, once we understand this Yesod, we can apply it to something very, very closely bound to that. There is one part of our lives which we really believe that we contribute hugely towards, but in fact our efforts are puny and our contributions towards the outcome are also very insignificant, and that is parnusa. To work, some of just from 10 to 5, some from 8 to 6, some from 7 to 7, some from 10 to 11, depending on the level of the workaholic and his belief in the Rebbein Shlomo. Consequently, some of them really are doing so well that they ask Gebon Shalom, just don't upset the apple cart. And with a pitiful burach ulainis ashunu azoyis v'skolmina is used to tover, they say, that's all, I'm doing fine, just don't interfere, okay? But believe, ich ha gehandelt, ich ha gekauft, I sold, I bought, I invested, yeah! When I raked in that net profit of kach v'kach millions, it's all me. Shmita is the quintessential raya to tell you, Mister, have you got a mistake? Have you got an error? Panesusa shel udom ketziven loy mishun eleshunu. And therefore, on the basis of that, we understand that the inyan of Shmita and Har Sinai are very, very closely associated, because the commerce and the profits that we make are essentially those, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us penny by penny, pound by pound, and every bit of panusa that we've got is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have to remember it and internalize it. And therefore, in the same way that the Har Sinai is only got prominence when the Torah was given there, and the Ribbono Shel Olam's departure from Har Sinai makes it completely insignificant. Similarly, Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, that Shmita, which is essentially symbolizing Parnusa, because that's the income of a person in the 6 years that he works, and he thinks and considers and really believes that maybe his efforts are the ones that are going to bring the Parnusa. So Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, believe it, mate, that not one penny that you earned has anything to do with your efforts. It's only a figment of your imagination. All you are is in living in an illusion, because the panusa comes directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Meila, that parallel and that analogy is very, very significant. I'll just add one more knaitch on the same thing of Amainian Shmita to Har Sinai, because Har Sinai actually represents Torah. Torah, the illusion of the Chazal is Yugatu in Metzus to Tamen. Yugatu in Metzus is in itself inherently a conflict of terms. If you toil, then you cannot have a Metzia, because when you have a Metzia, you're walking along the road and you pick up a wallet which came Kelach Hayat. And now you pick up this wallet and you become enriched by whatever the contents were inside it. But the Masa, Metzia, is not a Yagir. Says the Kotzke Rebbe and others before that, that's exactly it. Unia Meilim, Behaima Meilim, there's nowhere where you get schar for Amula, only by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when you horrev on a Toisfus, when you horrev on a Shveishtike Gemura, and you don't understand it, and suddenly, hey presto, the Pshat suddenly dawns on you, you understand it, remember that's the Eibishter who gave it to you as a gift. Like a metzia that you stumbled upon. It's not because you worked on it that you understood it. It's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Similarly, panus is exactly the same thing. Yeah, you're sitting behind the desk from the morning until the evening, and you're working and you're applying your acumen and your knowledge and your understanding of finance and commerce in order to earn money. But lemaaseh, it's a metzia. Every penny that you earn is because the Ribbono Shel Olam drops it into your pocket. Memeile ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai is also the same thing. The same thing. Shmita is there to remind you that in the same way that Torah, which is represented by Har Sinai, is the inyan of Yugatu in Metzus Tamin, that although you toil, you only gain the knowledge by the Metzia, by the gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The same way Shmita, which is the Panusa, the much as you work and toil and apply yourself to the earning of money, in the end of the day, everything that you earn is only because it's a matnas elikim. Shabbos.